I live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
Alright, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Howdy, howdy, everyone. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's LB Bork, kind of a host, one of the panelists of our discussion. We got a little think tank going here, I guess, or at least a round table, and we're going to be discussing today some interesting topics. We're going to talk second hour about the scenario for the election, which is going to be really fun. It's, with this pandemic, it's kind of interesting what they've done. But first hour, we're going to be talking a little bit about the First Amendment and these peaceful protests that are going on under that First Amendment. What I call the confidence institution. Before we get into introduction of the other two panelists that are on right now, and the other one, John, will be on at the bottom of the hour. But Mike and Dave are with me right now. But I wanted to read something, if I could, out of my article, Treason by Design. And I quoted some of Lysander Spooner's material on there. He did a piece called Constitution of No Authority, No Treason, back during the Civil War period. And I just want to read a couple excerpts from what he stated. And I thought it was interesting because someone gave this to me back in, I think it was like 1999. And I had just written an article called Treason by Design. That's this article. I included it in because the article I had written was called Are You a Traitor? And it's based on my research and what I was looking at under the 14th Amendment. And, of course, this whole program has been progressive in what they've done. So it fit right into Spooner was telling me right, at the time what was going on, and it's exactly what they've done. Anyway, couple pieces or paragraphs or sentences, a few sentences. The last pieces I used were all these cries of having abolished slavery, quote unquote, of having saved the country, quote unquote, of having preserved the Union, quote unquote, of establishing a government of consent, quote unquote, and of maintaining the national honor, quote unquote, are all gross, shameless, transparent cheats, so transparent that they ought to deceive no one, uttered as justifications for the war. He's talking about the Civil War, of course. Or for the government that has succeeded the war, or for now compelling the people to pay the cost of the war, or for compelling anybody to support a government that he does not want. The lesson taught by all these facts is this: as long as mankind continues to pay national debts, so-called, that is, so long as they are such dupes and cowards as to pay for being cheated, plundered, enslaved, and murdered, so long there will be enough to lend the money for those purposes. And with that money, a plenty of tools called soldiers can be hired to keep them in subjection. But when they refuse any longer to pay those thus cheated, plundered, enslaved, and murdered. They will cease to have cheats and usurpers and robbers and murderers and blood money loan mongers for masters. And I don't know. That's pretty profound to me. And it's exactly what I've discovered that's going on with this government. He said exactly what's going on. They have to have your consent. And it builds up to why they do these dog and pony shows to get people to vote. Before the Civil War, no one was hardly voting, as Mike Gaddy has mentioned in the past. Most people, like 20% or so, just want to be left alone and live on the land. Unfortunately, they set up the law system to get people's consent in three different ways, and it's based on historic law. First, of course, is voting. Second is taking benefits of the system, which is their socialist programs. And three is not saying anything. Everything operates under legal fictions and operations of law. And that's what I've been doing for 20 years now, trying to get people to declare their status. It's kind of like a personal declaration of independence. And if you're participating in the system, you're going to be paying these debts Spooner was talking about. And like I said, we're going to get into that second hour as far as the election goes. But for the first hour, I'd like to talk about, if we could, the so-called First Amendment. With that, I want to say hello to Mike and Dave. How are you guys today? First, Mike, because I said your name first, Mike. You can unmute now. Hope you didn't fall asleep. Dave, are you ready?
Well, I'll speak out of turn. I'm doing LB. Yeah. How you doing, man?
Okay. Had a rough day yesterday. I don't know what was going on, but today I feel pretty good. Keep my thoughts in line and stuff. Some days I feel like Joe, but no, not that bad. Joe Biden, that is. Hope things are well with you, Dave.
Biden, yes.
Dave Scorpio, yeah. He's got a program on Saturdays.
I think his new campaign schedule slogan should be 47 more years for Joe. Or another 47 years. How about that?
I don't
that?
Know if he's got 4 to 7 years. Sure could make it through a second term.
I don't think
term.
He does either.
Anyway.
4 to 7 weeks, maybe.
Yeah, Mike. There you are. How are you doing?
Well, yeah, it's this is really beginning to be funny, and I don't mean ha-ha funny. I mean very funny and bad funny is the way that these things are progressing. And, you look at what we call First Amendment rights anymore on YouTube or Facebook or any other social media. You no longer, pardon me, have any First Amendment rights. You can't say anything that might be objectionable to a minority. And so, therefore, or you can't say anything that would contradict the government's propaganda line. So your First Amendment rights have been removed. And how do you get a majority to surrender to a minority except by claiming that the majority in objecting to the minority becomes somehow morally depraved, in other, mm-hmm. other words, a racist?
Well, with the Civil War, so-called, they took – if you go back and look what they did, the North did to the South or the United States, whatever, they took away their – right of custom and usage law. And basically that's things that people do based on their religion or what they're practicing for faith. And, the natural law. And they took that away and mandated that the paramount allegiance of the southern states be given to the United States. And ever since then, like I read some of Spooner's material, he knew firsthand what was going on. The scuttlebutt that was probably being stated around the United States by intelligent people anyway. We probably can guess that the folks both North and South were pretty war-torn and downtrodden in regard to being worn out from all the killing that was going on, almost 1 million people, which I say that it was the installation of communism, and communism does dictate that war be, or killing of people or force be done to have it installed. But back to the First Amendment, it's what I was trying to get at here. It's not people's natural right to say what they want to say. It's not really a First Amendment right. The First Amendment, wouldn't you say, Mike, was something to say against the government. And with the social media, with these puppet or social media programs pretending not to be the government, but we know they're operated by the shadow government, if you will. They've controlled people's thoughts with the system. So in regard to the First Amendment, it's been a joke because, like I've said, let me find it, the exact verbiage from the First Amendment. It says the original intent of the First Amendment was the right of people peaceably to assemble and petition the government for redress of grievances. Oh, that's not what's going on now, is it, Mike?
Well, no, and there is also the Supreme Court has said that you can petition for a redress of grievances all you want to. The government does not have to respond.
Right, right.
So that's taken away. But I would like to jump back to you mentioned the South after the Civil War. And one of the ways that most people are unaware of is during Reconstruction, the federally mandated, militarily supported governments of the 10 Southern actually brought in and reinstituted. They brought their own preachers and put them in the churches of the South, and brought in their own teachers and put them in the schools of the South to begin their indoctrination program back then. So most people are unaware of the fact that that actually happened. But churches, they would basically set up programs to worship the president and to worship the government. The schools did the same thing.
Well, that's proper Article 5 ratification, isn't it?
Right. And you have the wonderful I Pledge Allegiance, which came out of a socialist who supported Lincoln and who supported the reasons for the war and who taught from his pulpit as a minister that that Jesus was a socialist. And he was defrocked for that teaching. But he's the one who came up with I Pledge Allegiance. And in his Pledge of Allegiance, there was no under God included.
And no, that was added by Congress later.
Right. 52, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, it was a program to pledge allegiance to the government. And instead of saying I pledge allegiance to the government, is I pledge allegiance to the flag of the government. So,
Mike,
uh-oh, you said something wrong, Mike. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I wanted to, before Mike gets too much further along, I wanted him to clarify. Are you saying that they brought preachers and educators to the South after the Civil War as part of the re-education program?
Absolutely. The ministers, the Southern ministers, were replaced with what was called carpetbaggers, of course. But they brought in their own ministers and brought in their own teachers, and they implemented a plan of allegiance to the government.
Wow. Okay, I did not know that they actually used preachers as part of this program. That is fascinating.
Well, and the many of the preachers who remained, that they let remain, anytime they would not begin their services with an allegiance to the government, they were deposed by the military leaders of that district, and they were replaced with carpetbaggers who came in who would begin their church services. I did an in-depth study of Reconstruction several years back. The things that happened during Reconstruction were absolutely criminal.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What does carpetbaggers and scallywags?
Yeah, what do carpetbaggers mean?
A carpetbagger is someone who came from the North and came to the South to help implement the policies. A scalawag was a Southerner who went along with them.
Yeah, I was just wondering where they got that term, carpetbagger. Yeah. I kind of knew what it meant. I myself am probably a copperhead.
Well, the luggage of that time was a carpet bag, or was referred to as a carpet bag. So carpet baggers were those who packed up and came to the South after the war.
Right. From what I understand, there are quite a few Synagogue of Satan members that did that.
Definitely.
Yep. That's my term for them these days. It's a little more politically correct, or biblically correct, anyway.
All right. So, you know, we end up with that Pledge of Allegiance from Bellamy, which was not a Pledge of Allegiance to a flag, but Pledge of Allegiance to a government. That flag was a symbol, and also people are pledging allegiance to a flag that flew over the institution of slavery for 80-plus years. And they pledge allegiance to that flag and call the flag that flew over slavery for 4 years racist.
Yeah, people of America don't understand that each state is a nation, actually, under international law. And, of course, communist programming has erased that from their minds. And probably even before the 1850s, that was going on a bit anyway. And I'm talking about the brainwashing for so-called national government.
Go back a little farther. Go back to James Madison, who wrote a letter to Edmund Randolph prior to the Constitutional Convention and said, "We will allow the states to exist only as they are subordinately useful."
Yeah.
So the whole plan of the Constitution of 1787 was to destroy the influence of the states.
Why'd they even do that? Because the states were a little independent at the time, do you think?
Well, under the Articles of Confederation, LB, under Article 13, for any bill to pass through Congress, it required 100% unanimous consent. And that establishes the consent of the governed, as mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. Because if seven people tell five people, this is what you're going to do because we're in a majority, the five people do not consent. So there is no consent of the governed. So the Federalists kept being thwarted under the Articles of Confederation every time they would come up with this plan of central tax. Someone would, one of the states would say, not no, but hell no.
Right. Well, and Mike, that's really important differentiation you're making. And that consent of the governed is not the same thing as the majority rules.
Absolutely. It's, I used to teach my classes, and I remember a class I had in Georgia many years ago, and it was a high school class that I was teaching, and we talked about a democracy. And I said, how many of you feel like you live in a democracy? Well, everybody raises their hands. And I said, well, is a democracy a good thing? And all of them said, oh, yes, of course, it's wonderful. It's the best system on earth. I said, okay, well, let me see here. We have 15 men in the room, or 15 males, and we have 12 females. If we take a vote and 15 males vote that they can have sexual liberties with the 12 females, is everybody good with that? And, of course, I got these crazy looking stairs.
And yeah.
That's democracy, folks. That's majority rules. That's democracy. So, democracy is not mentioned in the Constitution. No. Basically, it was implemented in the Constitution, but not mentioned.
Right. They call it representative democracy. And that's where they started to change those rules. Under the legislation that they put forth, particulars.
And now we have a member of Congress for every 780,000 people in the country, and I am sure that one person fully represents the wishes and the desires of all 780,000 people, right?
Hmm. Oh, of course, Mike. And what's the old saying? Democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner.
Two wolves and a chicken was Benjamin Franklin's, but the sheep makes perfect sense, too. Franklin said the mark of two wolves and a chicken deciding what's for dinner. Jefferson described it as mob rule, which is exactly what we're experiencing right now. And, of course, John Adams said there never was a democracy that didn't commit suicide, and we're doing that as well.
I think democracy literally means mob rule if you make a direct translation from,
I suppose there'd be nothing wrong with it if everyone had a educated voice, but mob rule is more of a just emotional voice, and that's why they set this so-called, I call it communistic government under the 14th Amendment up. It's mob rule based on emotions and tricks of politics.
Well, you and I have discussed this, LB, and I believe a socialist government was established under the Constitution of 1787.
Yes.
And the 14th Amendment just solidified it in place.
Yes, it made it more solid. Yeah, it got their consent more because people weren't voting before the 14th Amendment. Some gentleman, I can't remember who his name was, but he did the research on that. This democracy was created by Lincoln. He was the one that was really radical Republicans are the ones that went forward with this voting nonsense.
Well, if we want to talk about consent of the governed, we must consider that Lincoln did not appear on the ballot in 10 southern states in 1860. So if he did not appear on the ballot and the people of the South could not vote for him, how could Lincoln rule with consent of the governed?
Geez, that rapper is probably on more ballots or state ballots or whatever today.
Right.
I can't think of his name.
Kanye West.
Kanye West.
Yeah. I'm sure that's true, but folks, Lincoln got 39% of the popular vote.
Well, Mike, and it's amazing, too, how, honestly, I didn't know that his name did not appear on 10 states. Right. It's amazing how few people actually know that in regards to the mythology of, the Lincoln presidency.
Well, you can't be telling people the truth, Dave, and get them to kowtow to Marxist principles, because Marxist principles is exactly the opposite, 180 degrees out of phase with the truth. If people believe the truth, they will never accept Marxism.
No, they wouldn't. Never in a million years, but they seem to be brainwashed to it now. I understand that 3/4 of the millennial children or kids say that the government should own all the property.
Well, and one thing I've been researching are these Marxist techniques to take over society and revolutions, and they rarely admit that they're Marxists until after they seize power.
Well, Dave, exactly. And one of the things that I've asked people, and you just get this deer in the headlights look, is that the wonderful BLM was formed in 2015 after the Trayvon Martin, George, what's his name, fiasco. So BLM was founded. It was founded by 3 black women who openly admitted in 2015 that they were Marxists. And that was published in the New York Post, the complete their statements that they are Marxists. They are Marxist activists. And today we have politicians on both sides of the bench, both sides of the aisle. We have people everywhere supporting BLM, businesses and everything else. And they're openly supporting Marxism. And many of them are probably so damn dumb they don't know it.
And by the way, folks, BLM doesn't mean Bureau of Land Management, even though that's also a Marxist agency of the United States. It's Black Lives Matter, as you know, probably.
Well, the BLM, the organization, not the political movement, the BLM did the greatest heist of land in American history. It's absolutely amazing. It got rid of the Homesteading Act, essentially.
Yeah, if you look at the states that entered the Union post-14th Amendment, you'll see that the government, the federal government, controls most of the lands And of course, that's what the Bundy nonsense was over. Of course, you know, they're using federal land, so in sense, you know, they're being nice Marxist by doing so. But
well, anyway, guys, here's the whole thing. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the U.S. Constitution stipulates what lands the federal government can constitutionally own.
Right.
And about 95% of the lands and property that the federal government claims is unconstitutional. They yes. should not have. And they have this wonderful system now where, you know, like I think it's Nevada, they own over 80%, claim ownership of over 80% of yep. Nevada. Western states are all usually over 50% the federal government claims control of or ownership of. And the thing that happens is it the states got to complaining about it, but no one filed a suit using the Constitution. But the states got to complaining about it, and they said, look, you're destroying our tax base. We can't establish our own state institutions because you have taken the property and put it under your ownership. So the federal government came up with a plan called the Payment in Lieu of Taxes, which they call the PELT program, where the federal government sends to the states so much money every year in lieu of taxes. In other words, they take the income tax that the people pay, and the federal yeah. government processes it and sends it back to them.
Yeah, it's Marxist plank to taxation, and that's right. how they do it. You know, the thing that's interesting is I'd like to, if I had PAC going the way it should be, but people are distracted with nonsense, so it hasn't gone where we have study groups in all the states looking at these things. But it's interesting that California, being a republic that entered the Union as Texas did, it seemed they gave up a lot of their damn land to the feds. They must be really stupid. Well, we know they're stupid. Look what's going on out there. But they gave up a lot of their land to the feds, it seems, under the 14th Amendment. Weird. Anyway, we got a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. I think John will be with us after the break. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. See you in a few minutes, folks.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
troops. Let the magic rise.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. Glad you could join us. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's Albie Bork. Have panelists with me today, Mike Gaddy and Dave Scorpio of Scorpio's Conspiracy Show on Saturdays. Mike's also got a show here. We'll get into that probably towards the end of the program as far as getting the perks out there, not the perks, but the promotions for them. But right now I want to tell people that this is freedomslips.com and this is listener-supported radio, so we need your help. If you could go to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio, and go to the top of the page. There's a donation button. Really appreciate it if you hit that. If you don't do that, you might as well be sending your money to George Soros, is the way I look at it, because that's who's winning. Because people aren't doing anything to help themselves, really. So, that's your scolding for the day. Anyway, do that. And if you want to send snail mail, which I prefer, it's private. The tech industry is totally, you know, they commandeered the internet for the most part. Everything you do is watched and whatever. So it's better to maybe go snail mail with your donations. You can do that also on those pages. There's an address at the bottom. You can send it off to Terry in Michigan, and snail mail works great. It's kind of a mess these days, but, you know, we can blame that on Amazon, I guess. They pretty much commandeered the postal service and messing things up quite a bit. Anyway, that's world communism for you, or capitalism. Is the Congress has not done its duty to, keep it from happening, I guess you would say. Anyway, that said, we've been talking with the gentleman with me, and I call him gentleman, but it's Gentileman, or, you know, non-Synagogue of Satan members, about the Constitution, and we got into the 14th Amendment issues quite a bit, but I wanted to hit on these stupid protests that are going on. Of course, the media is spinning them as peaceful protest to fit within the, the particulars of the First Amendment, which is total nonsense, because the First Amendment has been perverted totally under the 14th Amendment system, thanks to the Supreme Court and other courts that have done their judicial activism under the Red Faction, as they call them. So the First Amendment isn't what it was. Of course, the media's twisting it wholly and totally. So we're seeing these people are rioting, basically, and they're doing it under Marxism. Mike, you were talking a bit about that just before the break in regards to BLM, Black Lives Matter, being a Marxist organization. You want to continue on that, or were you pretty much wrapped up?
Well, it's obvious by their own proclamation they are a Marxist organization. I just don't see enough people asking their politicians who support BLM or their businesses. I don't see enough people asking that simple question: why are you supporting Marxism? And you just don't see it. And people believe, and they are kowtowed, the majority is kowtowed into supporting a minority because in the eyes of, they're afraid of group, not being group acceptance. Because
right.
No one wants to be ridiculed and be called a racist. So if they would rather be gutless and be cowards than to be called a racist.
Well, also, it's a lot to do with money these days, too. I saw some woman that was lambasted for using the N-word at one time. And, you know, she lost a lot of money. But when you go into the capitalist-based system over free enterprise, which the system is, it's a capitalist-communist system. Communism is the vehicle for capitalists to make more money. And, you know, very few people understand that. But that's what happened. It was communism was designed to monopolize the profits from the industrial age or the industrial revolution. And it all fits together. And it's obvious if you start looking into things. But most people don't. As Mike just referenced, people don't question anything. They just follow the flock. And that's what's happened with this whole system. Of course, the mask issue or the plandemic is the same way. Dave, have you been watching the – I know we're going to talk about this next hour, but I was watching the Republican speech by Trump last night, and no one hardly at all was wearing masks. But the Democratic Party, you see, wearing those masks, speaking of the sheeple syndrome.
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, well, you know, to Trump's credit, he has tried to spill the beans on this, you know, plandemic several times. At the beginning, he called it a hoax.
Right.
You know, it is. So, he says things he's not supposed to and goes off script for whatever reason. And, you know, again, you know, there was like 500 people sitting there in front of the White House. And I saw three or four people with a mask on. So, you know, it's... The plandemic is definitely, you know, benefiting the Democrats in a lot of ways right now. Joe Biden can hide in his basement and not actually have to campaign, which is a good thing for him. And I heard a little clip of Nancy Pelosi this morning saying that Joe Biden shouldn't give Trump the dignity of having a debate with him.
Yeah, I know. I heard that.
That was freaking.
I think Joe forgot how to leave the basement. Or can't find his way out. Anyway, bad joke, maybe. Anyway, let's get back into these terrorist actions of these young people. I've been seeing this coming for a long time. I want to say that Larkin Rose was one person I believe is an operative. He set people up for anarchy, which... You know, I say there's Republican freedom. Why do you need anarchy? Because you don't have to participate if you don't want to. I pretty much determined that government's there to serve and govern evil people. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's not about the hokey pokey. It's about governing and serving evil people. And that's what basically has gone on the last 150 years. And they've been led into temptation instead of being delivered from evil, like the Lord's Prayer says. But, these people are going out. They've been trained to be anarchists and go out and do these things so they can be set up. And we're seeing that some of the governors, like the one in Wisconsin, I know, Dave, you wanted to get into what's going on in Wisconsin. I just live here. It's not my fault. I just watch, unfortunately.
Well, you're collectively responsible.
No, okay. I'm glad you think that way. I've tried.
I want
you
answers,
know?
Though, about what's going on in your state, man. I always thought Kenosha was like this nice, quiet little town. What happened?
Well... You know, if you look back at history of Reconstruction and what happened in the 1850s, Wisconsin, as far as I'm concerned, is the first communist state. Eugene Debs' labor school was here in Milwaukee. You know, that's part of Marxism. The tools called unions put together, I look at them as sub sub-government agencies or organizations that are controlled by Marxists to, infiltrate the labor forces. And, of course, that still goes on today about right-to-work states and not right-to-work and things of that nature. But so goes the communist program that's been installed the last 150 years in the United States. But Wisconsin was the first communist state. The 48ers settled here. They started – they were given their states statehood – State was given statehood in 1848, the same year as the Communist Manifesto was put in place. So two of the main things I saw in the Constitution for Wisconsin was there was no right to bear arms, which a gentleman I used to go to school with back in the 70s, he became a representative and got that put in. I think it was in the 90s, sometime the mid-90s, he got a Second Amendment equivalent put into the Constitution for Wisconsin. But nonetheless, they still don't allow full auto weapons. But, you know, that's controlled under the 14th Amendment aspects anyway. But the most telling thing that they put in the Constitution was aliens can own property in Wisconsin as much as a citizen can. They have the same rights. So that's basically the elimination of borders principle or dogma that comes out of the Communist Manifesto or the communist system that they've been implementing for the last 150 years. So, when you start letting people into your country, be they a different religion or different race, it's going to muddle things up, and the only thing that can control that is civil law. And like Mike said last segment, that the United States has been socialist since day one, since they put the Constitution in place. And I pretty much say with conviction now that socialism is citizenship. They go hand in hand, because once you become a citizen, you're saying that all private law of the municipality applies to me. So I've been fighting that with people for 20 years, saying you want correct nationality and not citizenship, because that opens a can of worms for you to be subject to this democracy, especially under the 14th Amendment, which they pulled people technically into the municipality called Washington, D.C., and it extended more laws to be applied to them. And that's a real problem. But anyway, back to this First Amendment thing, these protests, they're full Marxist. What do you think about that, Dave? You haven't spoke much this program so far. What are your thoughts on that? Did I lose you? Mike? Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Dave.
Dave, wake up.
Oh, no.
Did you?
I thought you were asking Mike. I'm sorry.
No. Well, Mike can field it. You want to go, Mike? What do you think about these protests? They're just riots. They're Marxist riots.
Well, they're all following right by the Marxist playbook. I mean, it's right there for everyone to see. They are doing exactly as they are paid and trained to do. I promise you that these people are being paid to show up and to do these things. And, you know, I saw it published once on this gentleman who, and I do call him a gentleman, in a 17-year-old in Kenosha who shot those three people who were assaulting him, obviously, from the video. I saw it once, and then it disappeared, that all three people who he shot had all had criminal records. They were all convicted felons.
Yes.
So, what percentage of these people, a couple of questions, what percentage of these people are convicted felons? What percentage of these people are actually U.S. citizens and are not here illegally? There's a lot of questions that should be asked of these. Of course, the media is never going to do it because it goes outside the narrative.
Yeah. Oh, of course. And it's racist anyway to question any of it. That's part of the techniques that they used back in the 60s, too. Anyone who questioned the agenda was a racist or a bad person or whatever. Right. And, you know, I'm convinced absolutely that many of these protesters are being paid. And one of the methods that I've heard postulated that they're using to pay these people are Target gift cards, because they're essentially untraceable. And if you look at how many videos where people are, you know, rioting and looting, there's a lot of videos that have been shot from inside of Target stores, if you've noticed that. And it's an indication that Target is in on the scam. And of course, you know, the corporations in Wall Street helped fund the Bolshevik Revolution. That's been fairly well documented by several authors. So this fits a longstanding pattern, is what I see.
I was thinking this last week that something we don't hear or talk about is the word sedition. How come George Soros isn't up on sedition charges?
Well, he should be. Yeah, and I'll just add this real quickly. I believe that many of these big globalist figures, you know, Soros is just a front man for people that are much more powerful than himself. These people are given absolute immunity from any crimes they commit as long as they're on board with the program. And I think Soros and the Clintons are just two very good examples.
Yeah, there's a lot of sedition going on, and the reason it doesn't get brought up is because Americans don't know law. Well, but that's all part of the program.
I have a question, guys, or a statement. Take any word that you want to use, racist, homophobe, or anything else, and put it in the place of conspiracy theory in a CIA document 1035-960, and this is an official CIA document. So listen to what it says and replace, just take any word you want to use, any derogatory phrase, and put it in place of what they used at the time was conspiracy theory. And I will read that document for you. It says, quote, conspiracy theory is a term that strikes fear and anxiety in the hearts of most every public figure, particularly journalists and academics. Since the 1960s, the label has become a disciplinary device that has been overwhelmingly effective in defining certain events as off limits to any inquiry or debate, especially in the United States, raising legitimate questions about dubious official narratives destined to inform public opinion and thereby public policy is a major thought crime that must be cauterized from the public psyche at all costs. Folks, that is a CIA document.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. And look how they actually push conspiracy theories all the time on us. They're just, they have to be the state-sanctioned conspiracy theories to be legitimate. Like today we have the great Trump mailbox conspiracy. He's taken all the mailboxes. Then, of course, my favorite conspiracy theory offered by the government is the 9/11 conspiracy, which, you know, a guy in a cave on a dialysis machine outsmarted the U.S. military and managed to knock down three buildings with two airplanes. That's my favorite one.
Well, guys, we must remember that if conspiracy theories do not exist, then at least about 32% of the people in the federal penitentiary must be released right away, because they're the people serving time for conspiracy to commit a crime. And the other thing is, we must assume that Julius Caesar was killed in a random walk by knifing.
That's great.
So, you know, to say that there are no conspiracies, almost everything the government is engaged in is a conspiracy. Read some of the plans. Operation Northwoods. Read that and tell me that's not a government conspiracy to trick the people into going to war. What was the Gulf of Tonkin incident? A conspiracy to get the people to go to war. Why didn't FDR tell Kimmel and Short at at Pearl Harbor that the Japanese were coming to bomb Pearl Harbor when we knew it. We were deciphering their code when they left Japan. We followed them all the way. It's all been documented. It's in the National Archives.
Yeah, so, as far as I'm concerned, every war that's happened for sure since the 1700s early has been orchestrated. And as far as I'm concerned, the American so-called revolution was orchestrated so they could put this state system in that overlays the old systems of government that were around the world. Of course, the United States has been the most – John, could you mute? There's a lot of background noise.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Burke.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, the United States is the most successful – application of New World Order, or the world communism as they call it, that has been done. And the United States is a boilerplate. They had trouble with communism over in Europe during the 1850s, and that's why they came over here. It was easy to take over a people that was pretty new. You know, the society was new, and they infiltrated pretty well. But The European Union even had trouble after, you know, 150 years or so, or 200 years, to get installed. The union principle or federation. Russia is kind of weird. It seems like they're getting along okay with their federation. But anyway, sorry, got off topic there. Yeah, John joined us. How are you doing, John? A little late today, huh?
A little wrong, Mr. Bork. Yeah, I'm sorry. I took the kids out to eat lunch on Friday, and then when I got home, my internet wasn't working.
Uh-oh.
So
it seems like Dave down south has better internet than people in America. Isn't that weird?
I don't know why my internet's so bad. I don't know if because everybody's on around here because their kids are all online. I have no idea.
Yeah.
This is garbage.
No, they're getting that education online now. And they're telling parents not to watch what's going on because they don't want the parents to know what they're teaching them. That's kind of weird. But anyway, that's the way it is. Well, thanks for joining us, John. We're talking about the riots and things right now. We're going to be talking about, the scenario for this election coming up next hour. So that's where we're at.
Okay. Sounds good with me to discuss that. Interested to get everybody's views on how they think the conventions went. I know I had you on my channel, Mr. Bork. We read the documents on YouTube, and we kind of played and discussed a little bit of what we could stomach of the Democrat national convention. So
it's weird. I have my own thoughts on that, but we'll get into that next hour. Anyway, Dave, do you have anything to add to this riot situation?
Well, just that they're following a constructed playbook. This is sort of like a color revolution that they're trying to enact within the United States. And as Mike referenced earlier, this is really right out of the CIA playbook. There's no question about it.
It's funny. I wonder what I don't get to talk to too many people anymore. I even have trouble talking to locals, but I wonder what most people think. The average person thinks, you know, what they think is going on. Do you think a lot of people of average, average citizenship or knowledge know what's going on? Yeah, go ahead.
LB, you are assuming facts, not in evidence. You are assuming that American people have the capability to think.
Yeah, probably. I mean, call it wishful thinking or hope, maybe. A lot of people call that hope.
Yeah. Well, I am reminded of two things about hope. Hope is not a course of action. Neither is it a force multiplier. And good old Patrick Henry said, we will listen to the siren song of hope until we are all turned into beasts. Well, if we're, you know... I think he was very prophetic because look at the streets of America.
Wow. Yeah, and the siren song is a really well used set of words there. That's excellent.
I remember when this pandemic came out, the military, I think, came out and said this is an experiment. I swore I heard that. They're testing.
Yeah, and the siren song was used to lure sailors to crash into small rocky outcrops and to doom in other ways as well.
Yeah, with that, I can say it gets back to what we talked about this hour about consent. The people are consenting to their demise and their enslavement. And it's really sad because the Marxist plan or the communist plan is how they've done it. And as I've said for a long time, all planks of the Communist Manifesto were applied to the United States over 50 years ago. They did it progressively, and the other, people in the world who've experienced communism is an authoritarian or totalitarian dictatorship. And I think that's kind of I'm setting this up for maybe next hour, but that's how they've got people convinced what communism is. It's totalitarian dictatorships under military rule. And, over half our budget is spent on the military. And what we're doing with that is making sure world communism is put in place. The only difference between other countries and the United States version of communism is they wear business suits here instead of military outfits or garb. And
gentlemen,
they don't tell people they're communist. We're communist. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, here's one thing I think that is obvious to Ray Charles, and that is the fact that because we are afraid to be called a racist or a conspiracy theorist or a homophobe, we are willing to condemn our children and our grandchildren into the horrors of a Marxist hell for the rest of their lives.
Yes. Well, they're experiencing it. They let the genie out of the bottle about 50 years ago. With the so-called Civil Rights Acts and the killing of Kennedy, as far as I'm concerned, was the last nail in the coffin. They pulled all stops out. Anyway, we got a break. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is August 28th. We'll be back in a few minutes, folks.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in Defense Condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
left as a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. You what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible. You're a loony. The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back, folks. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is August 28th, almost another month gone. What, 60 days till the election? That's going to be fun. We're going to be talking about that this hour, but I'd like to remind people that this is listener-supported radio. Need your help? Go to freedomslips.com and hit the donations button. Also, we have Patreon and snail mail you can send your donations into. And if you don't help us out, I guess you can default to supporting George Soros, because that's what's going on when you don't support us fundamentally. Actually, anyway, I want to thank the panel for joining me today. John just joined us a few minutes ago. Got Dave and also Mike Gaddy, the one and only someone that does research, right? Anyway, I want to thank you guys for taking up last week. And I guess Gillespie joined you guys. Do you want to talk about that a bit for a minute, Dave, before we get into the discussion?
Gillespie?
Yeah, didn't he join you guys last week?
Oh, Giuseppe.
Giuseppe, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, there Gillespie. I go, mispronouncing things.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yes, yes. And we had a very good conversation, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever talked to him. I should.
Anyway, well, we'll have to remedy that, LB.
Yeah, we'll have to. I don't do a lot of the roundtables. Reason being is you thought talking was over 20 years ago. It's time for people to start getting active and do something. That's been my trip. You know, we can talk till the cows come home, but you know, people need to be educated, but I don't know. Like Mike was referencing, you can't really teach these people. They really don't want to learn. And I think it was Jefferson that said, you get the government you know, you ask for.
Well, some people don't only not want to learn, they refuse to, and they'll actually get angry at you if you try to tell them certain information, especially when it comes to this plandemic. I've had people absolutely lose it on me when I try to tell them that this is essentially a hoax to take away people's freedom, and they just right. Exploded in a fit of anger with frothing at the mouth.
Yes. John, before we get into discussion, yes. You brought up that your group or the people you work with is the Fabian socialism is what you think has been instituted in the United States. I agree with that to a point, and I kind of hit on that before the break last hour. But, yeah, it's been soft-pedaled. But the Civil War was the communist, dictatorial method that they used to put communism in place. But they did soft pedal it for 100 years or so. You want to talk about that for a minute before we get into this next election? Because I think it all ties together.
It's my belief, Mr. Bork, that Fabian socialism, which is kind of like a soft socialism, that was, you know, conceptualized in England during the 1900s. And the flag for the Fabian Socialist Society used to be a wolf with a dead sheep around them, representing wow. the sheep's clothing. It is my belief. Actually, I have to look back. It's actually before the early 1900s. Actually, the late 1800s. It was founded in the United Kingdom. It is my belief that that was what was done here in the United States, and that, you know, revolutions, the Americans, because we do have the right to bear arms, we do have our Second Amendment freedoms. You know, outright a strong type revolution, communist revolution, wouldn't necessarily, I think, wouldn't work here, especially during the early 1900s. Maybe it's happening right now, but it wasn't going to happen back then, you know. So they had to do this. They couldn't do this outright, you know, in your face, overt communist revolution. So instead, through Fabian socialism, they had to put their people into the government and institutions, and you know, control all aspects of society to be able to bring it in. They thought they could do it. Because, I mean, the Fabian Society founded, you know, the London School of Economics, for example. So, you know, you're getting a lot of that that you see now. They couldn't outright do an overthrow Mao in China, or kind of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. They had to slowly put their people in. And you could see it. You could see communism and socialist views being espoused in universities, right? For the past, you know, I don't know how many decades. Mm-hmm. When you go there, when you go to an institution, you're getting that learning. So that's kind of like how the Fabian socialists act. You know, they don't, it's like a cooking a frog, you know, and the yeah. communists will throw a frog directly in boiling water and put the lid on, you know, where the Fabian socialists will put the frog on the stove with the lid on in cold water and slowly turn the heat up as the frog's cooking. The frog doesn't know it's cooking, you know, so, you know, mm-hmm. not will try to escape the pan or try to break, you know, the lid or whatever. So that's exactly what this is. It's like people have always asked, and I've had you on my channel to discuss, Mr. Bork, what are the conservatives, what are they really conserving? Well, what are they really conserving? They're conserving nothing.
So, no, they're not. They're fighting against the Marxist or the communist. And I think they realize it to a point, but they don't realize that they're already communists. The last 50 years, like I said, is just Marxism. What I see, this kind of gets into discussion of this hour, is there's disagreement on what's going to happen. But I believe that the Hegelian dialectics being used right now, and they're letting, you know, these Democrats take Marxism far, far left. And as you can tell, the Democratic Party's totally changed. It's gone from this soft socialism to extremism now. And what's going to happen?
If I could just address something real quick. I think John made some very cogent points about the Fabian socialists, and I agree. I would just like to recommend the book, Fabian Freeway. Maybe John's already familiar with it. And to the listeners, if you're interested in reading in depth about the Fabians, their history and their methods, Fabian Freeway is a really excellent book, and it goes into great detail and history about the organization.
No, I wasn't aware of that. It's an excellent recommendation. I'll definitely get it. Well, the book is like $500 on Amazon, though. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely going to get a
copy. Is it Billy?
Yeah. I look at
wow.
it right now.
Wow. No, I bought a copy of it maybe 10 years ago on eBay for, you know, $20 or $30. That's a phenomenon that Mike is talking about, too, where certain books are just skyrocketing in prices because they don't want people to read them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like my friend John, my other friend John, brought up that Kindle is like the kindling that starts the fire to start the book burning. So once they get to be more in power and have everyone brainwashed, they're going to start deleting these books so no one can get them. It's That's also the danger with the electronic age.
The Mises Institute is pushing the book, which is interesting because in themselves they're Fabian socialists. So they're like, oh, look at this, but they're not. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try to get a copy of it. Apparently there's a PDF copy that you can download off of the Mises Institute. So I wish I'd have the actual copy of it in hand and see if they changed anything by releasing the PDF. But that's really interesting.
And I still don't have my copy.
It's always good to try to get a first edition of everything you can because they often get altered quite a bit.
Mike, do you have anything to say while we're all talking? Mike fell asleep, I guess.
I was just going to say I'm enjoying listening. I wanted to get everyone else's opinion on these things and how they're developing. And I was just thinking, LB, as you mentioned it, I was thinking of the words from Hegel himself on the Hegelian dialectic, and I would quote, "The synthetic solution to those conflicts can't be introduced unless those being manipulated take a side which will advance the predetermined agenda."
Right. Okay. Unquote.
So, I think that's most relevant that we're involved in a Hegelian dialectic, and we have been for quite some time.
Yeah. I know before the program, we talked in private or off air about what I believe is happening right now. And I talked about the eight years for each party going left, left, right, whatever you want to say. But I think back to the Hegelian dialectic, I think they're taking things way far left right now, and they're going to bring them back center and, take care of things. As you can see, for example, Trump's been playing the constitutional card in regards to making sure these governors ask to let the feds come in and take care of things. So as far as I'm concerned, the feds could go in and take care of their citizens right away. But this soft takeover, as John's talking about, under Fabian socialism, and they couldn't do that. What they did with this dual system of law under the 14th Amendment, they should have done their hard communist takeover with the 14th Amendment or the Civil War, but they didn't. They bifurcated the system, and they're playing both sides of the coin, so to speak. So that's what we're seeing right now, and I believe that Trump's going to still get in, and if they follow the dictates of what they put in place is totalitarian dictatorships in all countries of the world, and I've heard Trump say things to this effect the last 4 years, that I believe that Trump may get in. I've even heard his son say, and other, rumors that they're not going to have an election, that they'll just declare a dictatorship. That's a possibility, but they might play this game a little longer, another 4 years before they do it. But I believe Trump's going to get back in, and they're going to bring things back to, where they want them to be. And like I said, they've already got their communist system installed. What we're seeing now is just Marxist shenanigans. And, we'll see what happens. I could be wrong. But you want to express your thoughts? Let's go with John, because he didn't get much chance to talk last hour.
No, I mean, I agree with you, sir, that they've always played both sides. I mean, that's what the right-left paradigm is about, right? Mm-hmm. But at the top, they control it all. So they'll play to people's individual beliefs and try to pit them against each other, the elite versus the people. And that happens quite frequently throughout history. I think America is a little bit different. I guess maybe because I'm American, I'm a little bit biased about how the population, I don't think they could have done at that time period, even during the Civil War, I don't think they could have done an outright revolution. at that point.
Well, see,
I think they attempted one, but they couldn't.
Yeah, like we said, that people don't think we're communists. They don't think we're Marxist. But they're using this boogeyman or this threat right now to scare everyone. And
yes.
So I think that's what's going to happen. You know, that the Dems are just – they're being thrown under the bus right now.
And the assassination of JFK was to bring in the New World Order in that form. And then you had 9/11 that brings in another part of it. And then you have what's going on with Trump and the coronavirus to bring in. As Trump himself said, because of me, because I'm your ball, you know, your bulwark, or I guess not your bulwark, that's the incorrect term, because I'm your ballast, you will not see a socialist president in your lifetime, you know? And like the moment he said that, you know, both me and Josh Reeves were like, okay, that means we will. And it'll be the next president. So there you go. They tipped the hat, you know. So,
well, like I've said.
Well, I'll jump in here just briefly and give my two cents. You know, if you watch the mainstream media from the point of view of just sort of watching enemy war footage, what I'm seeing they're telegraphing the public is that the election is not going to be legitimized no matter who wins. Sure. And you're going to have a whole lot of pissed off people in the streets no matter who wins. So I think they're taking us towards an illegitimate election where the winner is in doubt, and you're going to just have a whole lot of pissed off people everywhere.
Yeah, they're already setting that up. Hillary Clinton said that no matter what happens, don't accept the election. If you Democrats,
yeah, she told Gropen Joe to not concede the election, no matter what.
Right, exactly. That's the exact quote, I think. Yeah, Mike, any comments? You still enjoying the banter, I guess.
Well, one of the things I've run a multitude of scenarios over in my head. And I haven't listened to either convention because I had some real important things to do. My wheelbarrow tire needed to check the air. So I didn't spend any time, but I'm not criticizing those who do, because if you look at it as entertainment, I guess that's one aspect. But I've always known how, in my mind, how the government operates. And the government loves to take things and shove it right up your yin-yang. And in the year 2000, totally unconstitutionally, the Supreme Court took over the election in 2000. The Supreme Court ordered the state of Florida to stop counting votes. Of course, the conservatives were beside themselves with glee because it didn't make any difference how bad the Constitution was mauled or destroyed. They had their boy, George W. Bush. Here's a scenario that I thought, and the precedent is now in place. Totally unconstitutional, but we all know that law schools and everyone else, judges, they love precedent. So what happens if we have a very, very close election in November and it boils down to a red state and the Supreme Court comes in and orders the red state to stop counting votes and awards the election to Biden?
Here's a quote.
Yeah, I think Biden's going to be the. I don't want this to happen, but I think the most likely scenario is that Biden does get in. It's the smart move for the agenda right now. If you just look at it from that standpoint, I also think the Democrats could very well take the Senate. And of course, you know, if Gropen Joe happens to die 6 months in office or becomes incapacitated, it's already been telegraphed to the public that, well, he's not doing so well. And so say hello to President Harris. And if you don't like anything she does, you're racist and misogynist.
That's good for them, but she's a fraud. She's a criminal. It's obvious. She slipped her way to the top. Well, and if that's that gets back to the quote that Jefferson talking, LB. Jefferson said, the people get the government they deserve. Jefferson said.
And that is true, but let's look at another scenario if we can. What happens if the vote ends up being terribly contested all across the country and they do decide to stick with the Constitution and they throw the election into the U.S. House of Representatives as it's supposed to be done and Nancy Pelosi becomes president?
Ouch. I don't know who's worse. Well, she's pretty bad. She upsets me.
Well, and then, you know, what one scenario I heard from that is that Pelosi then has Hillary become her vice president and then resigns. Hillary becomes president and then, boom, we got Hillary Clinton as president. I don't know.
Yeah, there's this guy named H.A. Goodman that's predicting Clinton's going to be.
I still thought it's Hillary Clinton. I still thought it was going to be Clinton somehow or another. I thought it was Clinton versus Trump, too.
Yeah.
Well, let's not look past the fact that there have been already, and when they float these ideas, that means that someone is running something up the flagpole to see who salutes. They have floated the idea of doing away with the amendment that would prohibit Obama from coming back for a third term.
Ouch.
That has been
discussed. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That has been discussed. But the thing I see right now is the Democrats are not ready to totally yell and put up the big M word and say, look, we are Marxist and this is what we stand for. But what they want to do is they've got, a Joe in the hoe, but they've got Joe going because he is still old school Democrat from the Kennedy School. So they believe that they can still bring in that small portion of the Democratic Party, which was basically, you know, many a time the old Southern Democrats. But they can bring in at least that stable part of the party into the mix. And then, you know, Joe either, falls down and hurts himself or they run to the 25th Amendment, Kamala and several members of the cabinet and say he's incompetent. And then it's a complete socialist takeover. Because I really believe that the Marxists have put Kamala Harris into this position for a reason. Because, Dave, you alluded to the fact that she did very poorly in the debates when she was running. But they really want her in office. And they see her as acceptable because, as someone just alluded to, I think it was you, LB, that if anyone said anything about Kamala Harris, they are racist. So
I think that was Scorpio.
Well, racist and misogynist. So it's really, you can't criticize a thing she's going to do because you're just a hater.
It's time for a Stalin quote. It is not enough that the people know there was an election. The people who cast the votes decide nothing. The people who count the votes decide everything. I think that's what Mike was talking about.
Absolutely. And we know, because I think we can go back 20 years and there was a computer programmer right after the debacle with George W. Bush and John Kerry. What was that, 2004? I believe it was. After that debacle, they had a computer programmer testify before Congress that these voting machines can be programmed to produce any results you want before it starts.
Yeah. Mike, can I talk about that for a minute, if you don't
mind? Please do.
Go ahead.
I have extensive knowledge about the 2004 election. So it had a lot to do with the Council for National Policy. Because, with the 2000, it's like this election. You know, whoever wins, we lose, right? You got John Kerry, Bonesman. You know, George W. Bush, Bonesman. You know, I mean, they're both deep state, whatever you want to call it, you know, part of the world order together, right? So the key state in that was Ohio. And at the time, the Secretary of State in Ohio was a man named John Kenneth Blackwell. He's been a Council for National Policy member for over three decades. He still is to this day. So Karl Rove and John Kenneth Blackwell, through working with an IT consultant named Michael Connell and his company, Smart Tech and New Media Communications, rigged the vote, specifically in Ohio with the Diebold machines, to go to George W. Bush. And later, when Michael Connell was brought in to testify, turned state's witness against John Kenneth Blackwell in the state of Ohio, his private plane crashed and he was assassinated by Rove and Blackwell. And so when he was going to, you know, turn state's witness and testify that he was the one, they had rigged an election. And he also helped rig election, the Ukraine election in 2004 with Paul Manafort. Michael Connell did. They're all dirty. They're all dirty. And so that's a little bit more on that. And the same people that are in Trump's, John Kenneth Blackwell is named as Donald Trump's election into his election integrity committee with I want to say Tom Cotton or Chris Kobach. No, Chris Kobach. It's Chris Kobach and John Kenneth Blackwell. So you have the guy who rigged the 2004 vote, the CMP. You have him on your election integrity committee, and now you have Karl Rove and John Kenneth Blackwell, in the White House to get Trump elected. It is my belief that the CMP is fully behind Trump. Trump addressed the Council for National Policy for the first time publicly. Last week, Fox News covered it. It happened last Friday. They lift the veil. They show the wizard behind the curtain. And when that happened, they totally locked down the Council for National Policy website. It's now you have to be a member to even look at the About Us page. You have to be a member. Where you go to the Council for Foreign Relations website and actually look at a membership list. So the CMP website's become more secretive after Trump gave the speech to them. And it was right out in the open for everyone to see. He praised Israel, talked about that they were his masters, and the CMP was his masters, and they're the puppeteers, and he's the puppet. And no one cared. It was just a blimp on the radar. When they showed you the hand, no one looked at it. And they're running the same play that they've ran before, and Trump, in my belief, will be elected. Now, it might be a contested election. I might agree with Dave on that. It may happen, but I still think the CMP wants Trump in. They will have Trump in. And my guess is, from what I've seen in all markers, is it's going to be a landslide. And on top of that, it's going to be a manufactured landslide. And on top of that, if Biden and Trump do not debate, oh boy.
Be back. Thanks, John. We'll be back in a few minutes. Station break. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. But now, we're going to get back to your host.
That was weird. Wow. Anyway, yeah, thanks for joining us. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Thank you, Revolution Radio, or freedomslips.com. All the management, yeah. Glad to be here, and thank you for having us. I want to thank all the managers and people that contribute to make it happen. We can continue as long as the internet stays up. If you help us out, go to the site and donate, please, please. Anyway, this hour, we're talking about the election results, what might happen. And this is the last quarter of today's program. And we were talking with John and what he thinks is going to happen. I'm with him based on, I think it was Lenin that said it only takes a generation for him to teach the children to accept communism. Right now, we're seeing that happening, the conversion, but in schooling that they're getting, and of course, the media and media is backing that up along with the corporations, which I believe will be in total control once this is all done. It's all about who can make the most profits, and that capitalism does that. It's a snake eating its tail, so to speak. The ones with the most capital win, and we could see that happening over the years. But what's going on right now is, of course, we have a lot of older folks, including myself. I'm not real old. Mike's kind of not real old either, but there's still a lot of us old-timers out there that haven't passed away yet. So they got to still play this transitional game, and I don't think they're ready to totally give up the system yet. So what we're going to see is, you know, a little more game playing here. And as Mike kind of laid out, and I laid out, and John laid out, and Scorpio's laid out, that they're playing a good game right now, and we don't know who's going to win. I believe Trump's in, and I agree with what John just said before the break, that it's going to be a landslide, whether fabricated or not, it's looking that way. The Democrats are up and coming, but they're being thrown under the bus, as far as I can see. They're pushing the Marxism, which includes Biden not even being able to say God, and that gets into the old system and what I just said about the old timers not being gone yet. The new children of the new age are going to be taken away from God. So they're still playing that game between the two parties. So as you've noticed, the Republicans have mentioned God in the convention, and they're using it against Biden. So, yeah, the game's being played. There's no doubt. But they're not quite ready to, you know, pull the carpet out totally yet. Anyway, who wants to go first? Do you want to argue about it, or should I pick someone? Or do you have more to say, well, John? No, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt John. I just wanted to commend John for that absolutely great description of what happened in 2004 down to the minute detail. And here is the thing. I think, again, I presented different scenarios because I think we have to think of them. But here's the thing I purposely believe, and then I want John's opinion on this as well as everyone else. But I believe that this thing has worked so well of keeping the right wing sitting on their butts because they believe that the great orange man is going to ride in on a white steed and save the day, that I do believe he will be reelected for that exact same reason. To complete the Marxist takeover, you need the resistance to sit at home and shut up. Your thoughts, John?
Very much so, Mike. That's my fear now. Is that they wanted Trump and they're going to get Trump, and it's my fear that we're going to see the totalitarian side of the Council for National Policy as the pandemic gets worse. Get ready for a second wave, and you know, people are going to not understand when, you know, Trump, who's supposed to be against all these things, those things may start to become implemented.
Mm-hmm. You've said in the past, John, that you wished Hillary got in because you said to the effect that let's just get this done with, you know, let the crap hit the fan, and
because at least half the patriots, you know, if Trump's not our guy, which I don't think he is, I think he counts for national policy and whatever, but. You know, if he's not, then, you know, half the patriot movement, because, you know, people were waking up to the right-left paradigm when Obama was in office more than ever, right? Like, you'd have, like, a progressive truther, and you'd have, like, a conservative truther, you know, be like, yeah, I hate George W. Bush. And they'd be like, yeah, and I'd be like, I hate Barack Obama. And they'd be like, yeah, you know, they'd slap a high five, and they'd agree on things, right? Well, now, you know, everybody's at each other's throats, and I get called a liberal progressive commie. Just because I say, hey, Trump's not our guy, and he's pushing a lot of different monikers like Israel First, you know, and just, you know, and talk about him, you know, being Jesuit trained and everything, and his connections to the CNP, and the CNP wanted him in office, and just because I mentioned all that stuff, oh, John, well, you're, you know, liberal progressive shill. And it's like, oh, okay, thank you for telling me what I believe in.
Right.
You know, and yes, that's my problem. Is if Hillary Clinton would have gotten office, I really dislike that woman. She's evil. She's the embodiment of evil. At least Trump kind of goes, you know, gets a little mouthy sometimes and goes off the script a little bit. And that's like one of the only things that I halfway partially admire him on, is he could be kind of loudmouth and say what he believes, even if they, you know, he's not well polished like the rest of them. You know, so
he's not a politician,
and so because of that, go ahead, Michael.
I'm sorry. One of the things, if I could just throw this in,
yeah,
I remember in the early or the late 1990s writing an article, and I was just looking for it. I wrote an article in the late 1990s called Al Sharpton for President, and I knew that the people who read my work were going to have a stroke. But I put Al Sharpton for president because we need full in-your-face socialism to at least help to wake up the right side of the spectrum. And again, you have elucidated on that with the Hillary theory, and I think that's perfect. Thanks, John. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dave, do you have anything to add here? Okay. John, do you have, you want to continue at all, or should I throw my two cents in?
Let me finish. I want to get your opinion. Okay. I think if Hillary would have gotten elected, then, you know, because it's like my father-in-law, who was awake on parapolitics at that time, is now completely asleep by Trump, you know, and so you see that a lot, where these patriots who used to really fight against the world order and stuff have been lulled back asleep to trust the God Emperor, and the new world order is still marching on, and that's a problem. And I don't think that would have happened with Hillary Clinton if she would have got elected. Part of me, I go back and forth on it. You know, part of me thinks maybe it would have been better for the truth community and better for it just to be all in the open so we can call it out and maybe wake people up if Hillary Clinton did got elected. But at the same time, I despise her so much. You know, maybe we can rectify it when Trump doesn't do anything in 4 years. You know, I don't know. So
I agree. I have the theory, a little bit of hope here. I know a lot of people probably don't have hope, but we got to have hope or we give up. I looked at the movie The Gladiator as maybe a warning or some advice by Ridley Scott, the guy that produced that or directed it. Did he direct it? I don't know. I don't remember, but he wrote it anyway. Gladiator dealt with Caesar wanting to give Rome back to the people, right? And as Mike Gaddy and myself have discussed over the year or the last year, that the Federalists wanted a socialist-based empire from the get-go, but it really took them to the 14th Amendment to, and I can give you a reference in the code where they took the republic away from the people and made it into this. Communist foundation-based empire. Ridley Scott was telling us that what we need to do is get back to the republic. And, of course, we've seen if people try to do that, meaning I know you don't like Kennedy that much, John, or don't trust him to the full extent that we should, but I think he tried to wake people up at the point. But we see what happens when they tried to do that. And the same thing, I believe, happened with Lincoln. He was willing to play the game to, you know, free the slaves, but I don't think he would go along with the 14th Amendment system, which he knew that would overthrow the system as it was with under the Constitution. So it's up to the people, is my point, to push this in the right direction. And if Trump is, you know, like John just referenced, he sometimes does the right thing. It seems like he's doing the right thing, but he can't do the right thing because of what I just referenced. It's up to the people to push this in the right direction. So the silent majority that's been silent, that Mike referenced earlier, they got to stop being silent. They got to start pushing back. And if you just sit there and don't understand how the Constitution works and how law works in general, they're going to get away with this. And, it might take some sacrifice. You might lose your job. You might lose your property. But I gave that up 25 years ago after I found out what the system was about. I sacrificed back then and gave up these things because no one owns their property anyway. It's all a facade under communism. You know, if you don't pay your taxes, et cetera, you're going to lose it. No one's free, like they say. So it's all a facade and a lie. So everyone's bought into the American scheme, and it's time to fix it. And if you don't fix it now, I don't know how much longer it would take to fix it after they get everything in place. Anyway, I've said enough. Dave, do you want to say something now? Did you come back?
Well, sure. You know, everyone's making some valid points. But I think, you know, the big picture, too, is it's time for people to stop looking to the federal government for solutions to anything. I think we've reached a point where this government is so corrupt, so completely infiltrated with, you know, secret society members and just malcontent people that have evil in their heart. Mm-hmm. It's time to defund the federal government, okay? And we need to start looking for other solutions rather than argue about Trump and Hillary and blah, 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 blah. they're all working for the, you know, the, I mean, no matter what you want to say about Trump, he's shown, his presidency has shown that the president really can't do much, even if he wanted to, within the system that we're currently under. So we need to start thinking outside the box and looking for other avenues for solutions is the conclusion I'm right. coming to.
About that, that was my point, Dave. I think Trump could be pushed in the right direction if the people did it. But, there, you know, you can't do it if you're sitting there doing nothing about it. And Hillary, like you said, John, is terrible. I mean, she is terrible, but this Harris is just pure evil. She'll do anything to be totalitarian over the people, I think. Someone in chat, Neil, just said in chat that he wrote Harris when she was Attorney General in California, and she basically said, it's none of your business. Shut your mouth and do what we say. And I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's what I got out of it. She's just pure evil. So these people do not follow the law, and that fits into the communistic totalitarian dictatorship that they really want in place. They have to have someone that's just doesn't care about law at all. So anyway, Mike, have anything cheery to say?
Cheery?
Cheery, yeah.
When have I ever said anything cheery?
Well, you say some cheery things. Come on, guy.
No, it is remarkable where we are, but LB, I believe that we all hope that the people would stand up and do something, but there's very few instances in history where a majority of the people have ever stood up and fought against tyranny. So few examples that it's incredible.
So with technology, where does this go if they win, for lack of better words? Are people forever enslaved by these evil people if they don't do something now?
Well, LB, we were enslaved with the Constitution of 1787 with Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1. People can talk about that all they want to. But when the federal government and the central government, when the very first power they give to Congress is unlimited taxation from unlimited sources for anything they consider necessary and proper to promote the general welfare, we're toast. We were slaves from that very first clause. And then, of course, we come along with the Civil War and Abraham Lincoln and our wonderful friend Salmon P. Chase. Then they double up on that with the IRS and with the income tax. So they codified the Constitution with those two acts. So with the agency and the act. So yeah, we've been living under. That's why the title of my program is "Addicted to Your Own Destruction."
Yes. Yeah, they just sprinkled a little more emotions and deception in over the years, right?
Oh, yes. Emotion will always rule the cognitive process.
That's how they got the slavery issue fixed, the emotion.
Of course.
Yep. I'm not saying it's proper. I don't believe slavery is a good thing.
Well,
against any people, so
no, it's not. It is absolutely abhorrent. Any yeah. thought of one human being owning another. But if you want the documented evidence, go to the 1862 Congress where they talked about why they were fighting the war, and they especially indicate that they don't that they were not fighting for slavery. They said it in Congress in 1862.
Yeah, I like the way you've put things forth, and I learned from it because I went back and looked at put things forth. I'm sorry, getting ahead of myself. In regards to you thought you could prove that the federal government's racist, and then I looked at what you said, and I go, yeah, I see it. There's no problem. And I went back to look at Title 42, Section 1981. And if you look at it closely, they were enslaving the black people. And like I referenced, I think it was on my program a couple weeks ago, that all black people in America were not slaves back during the Civil War period or Reconstruction during the 1860s. So what are they saying? Black people don't have natural rights at all?
Well,
so they had to codify it?
Well, look,
give it.
They did. They codified it in the Constitution because there was no mention of slavery in the Articles of Confederation.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the northern states, several of the northern states prior to 1787 had started abolishing slavery, but the Constitution reinstituted it for 20 years.
Right.
So the central government codified slavery very early on and put it into the Constitution. And in 1857, as we all know, Dred Scott v. Sanford, the Supreme Court codified slavery.
So, yeah, if I were black, I'd dread Dred Scott.
So we're going to hate the Southerners for following the Constitution.
Yeah, well, we know it's all a scam. And I broke down the term Constitution into being confidence institution. And con is usually a confidence game or a con job. And that's basically what it is. As I said last hour, there's three ways you consent to this government, and it's voting. That's the ultimate consent. Two is taking benefits from it. And three is doing nothing about it and just staying silent. They'll suck you into being subject to their jurisdiction. It's like it says in Section 1 of the 14th Amendment. So that's where we're at. People just being lazy and complacent and participating in a system that's just totally a system of slavery. There's no doubt in my mind that it's bondage. And people gleefully participate in it. It's very sad. And because of their ignorance, they can vote or not vote. And like John referenced a few minutes ago, that they're going to do what they want to do. And it's based on people's ignorance.
If I can take,
get away with it.
If I can take all of your property, if I can take all, you know, if I come to you and say, okay, LB, you owe this much tax, and you say, well, I don't have the money, you say, okay, well, we'll seize your property, which is what happened in the Shays Rebellion. So they come in and they say, okay, I'll just seize your property. I'll take your property. And it's authorized by our Constitution, which was in the Massachusetts Constitution of 1790. So you can say, okay, I can take anything you own to pay the government. If I can say that, if I have the power to say that, you are a slave. I don't care, regardless of the color of your skin. You are a slave if I, as acting as a government agent, can take everything you have for my purposes, whether you agree or not. That is the very definition of slavery.
Yeah. Well, it's all done by consent. I just wanted to say one thing, and we'll get into introductions or promotions on our individual programs. But if you look at the United Nations, for example, they have the socialist side of like the Human Declaration of Rights. You can see where they're preserving international law, but they're also promoting socialism. So it's up to people to decide where they want to go, because, you know, they have to recognize it. And this whole system's based on people's ignorance and consent. And that's based on, you know, their consent is based on their ignorance. So ignorance breeds fear. Or fear breeds ignorance breeds fear. Fear breeds slavery or bondage. So people better get in their minds that they need to know what's going on here and give up this complacency that's been going on. Anyway, Mike, you're the last one to speak. Why don't you tell the folks about your program on Sundays?
Okay, it is comes on at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I have probably the greatest producer out there, some fellow by the name of Dave Scorpio. And we do a program called Addicted to Your Own Destruction. And it is basically goes into the fact that the people who absolutely love the Constitution are addicted to their own destruction. Mm-hmm. We go into very good detail on that. But anyway, that's the subject of the program.
Okay. Dave, seeing how he gave you a cheery introduction, why don't you pick up the ball?
Okay. Well, my show comes on Saturdays from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A, Operation Scorpio.
Don't you have a round table also during the week?
Yeah, I do the Red Pill Roundtable with Steven of Fact or Theory Live, and that show comes on Wednesdays at noon, Studio A.
Great. I haven't been on yet. Maybe someday, I don't know. Like I said, I'm tired of talking.
No, we had you on this. We had you on one time.
Yeah, well, I'm getting like Joe Biden, I guess. Forgetting sometime. Anyway, John, you have an excellent program on YouTube called We've Read the Documents. Tell folks about that.
Yeah. Yes, I run the YouTube channel We've Read the Documents. I discuss numerous topics that we discuss on this roundtable, Dare to Think Out Loud. As well as we've underscore red on Twitter. You can follow me there. I've had Mr. Bork on. I'd love to have Mike and Scorpio on too in the future as well. Be good to have you guys on. But yes, you guys can find me there. And thank you for having me on Dare to Think Out Loud, Mr. Bork.
Oh, thanks for joining us.
Hey, John, anytime, just let me know. Send me a message. I'll be there.
We'll do. We'll do.
My program is The Ultimate Remedy, which deals with people taking back their nationalities, which has been taken away by the constitutional system, and it's found in Communist Manifesto. That's one of the main things they did to destroy countries and nations, and people need to start taking their rights back, and that's what I do. But The Ultimate Remedy, the program is on Tuesdays at 6 on Studio A, or in Studio A here on Revolution Radio. And again, we're listener supported. So support us. Please donate. And we'll see you next week, next Friday, with another episode of Dare to Think Out Loud. Have a good weekend, folks. Godspeed.
Listening to Revolution.